Good evening. Welcome to God's House, the fourth of our Lenten series in the somewhat good kings of Judah, as we are learning, maybe not so good. tonight we consider the next king in that line of good kings after a period of apostasy, of falling away under King Ahaziah, and then under Athaliah, as we will learn tonight, we come to Joash. And things started looking up again under Joash, at least for a while. And we'll see what happens. So the point of all of this, of course, is to point us to a much, much better and greater and perfect king, our King Jesus. That's why you see on the front here, you see Joash standing there with Jehoiada, the priest who had raised him as a boy. And they together are working to renovate the temple. And it's hard to see in the foreground coffers full of money because they collected a tax, so you will hear about that, to renovate the temple, restore it as the house of God after some years of abuse. But as you might imagine, like all these kings, he's going to fail. And that's why we need that king who stands in the background, our Lord Jesus, whose crown is thorns, whose throne is his cross, whose victory is his resurrection, and our eternal joy and peace. God be with you as we worship. Let's rise as we are able to join in worship.
Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship him.
Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship him. the 30th Psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, yes, faints
for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Please be seated.
In the cross of Christ, my glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head.
So we turn again to the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, the good kings of Judah, in 2 Chronicles in the 24th chapter, reading tonight of Joash. Once again tonight you will hear of the Asherim. Just a reminder, those were these poles that were carved and erected in the worship of the goddess Asherah, whose male counterpart was Baal. Now, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba, and Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada got for him two wives, and he had sons and daughters. After this, Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord. And proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring in for the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, laid on Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought their tax and dropped it into the chest until they had finished. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. And those who were engaged in the work labored, and the repairing went forward in their hands, and they restored the house of God to its proper condition and strengthened it. But Jehoiada grew old and full of days and died. He was 130 years old at his death, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them, and they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. They testified against them, but they would not pay attention. Then the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." But they conspired against him, and by command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. And when he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." At the end of the year, the army of the Syrians came up against Joash. They came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. Though the army of the Syrians had come with a few men, the Lord delivered into their hand a very great army because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. When they had departed from him, leaving him severely wounded, his servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest and killed him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more, as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rise then, as we are able, in honor of our Lord Jesus, to hear the words of his gospel from the evangelist St. John in the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord Jesus. The words again, just a few of those words from the second book of Chronicles in the 24th chapter. The first three verses. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada got for him 2 wives, and he had sons and daughters. And after this, Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. We pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So last week we considered the reign of Judah's king Jehoshaphat. You might remember he is the one who made the marriage alliance with the northern kingdom of Israel by giving his son Jehoram in marriage to Athaliah, the daughter of the wicked king of the north, Ahab, and his even more wicked wife, Jezebel. And that alliance made sense to Jehoshaphat for a number of reasons, but possibly also he was thinking this could be a way to reunite the tribes of Israel under one king, under the throne of David. But as we know, in the end, this alliance bore disastrous fruit. That's what happens when you get into bed with the devil, right? And when Jehoram, his son, died, and there was nobody else, the Bible tells us, who could take the throne, that opened up the way for Athaliah to seize the crown of Judah and the throne of David. Now, there's a triple outrage here. First of all, there is a woman on David's throne, a king's throne. Secondly, she is not of the house and lineage of David, and yet she is sitting on David's throne. And third, she is wicked beyond belief. How wicked was she? I'm glad you asked. First thing Athaliah did when she seized the throne, 2 Chronicles 22, we read, she destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. All right, in plain English, what that means is that to eliminate all rivals to the throne, she set out to kill everyone in the family who might have a claim to the throne, and in this case, her own grandsons. That's right, she took out her own grandsons to ensure her grip on the throne. Someone once referred to Athaliah as Granny the Ripper. And if that wasn't bad enough, Athaliah also led the kingdom of Judah into whoredom with other gods, the gods of the Canaanites. But then again, what would you expect of the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel? She led Judah in idolatry, just like her parents led Israel in idolatry. And is it any wonder then that under the reign of Athaliah, the temple of God in Jerusalem was abused and abandoned and quickly fell into disrepair? These were the fruits of Jehoshaphat's alliance with the devil. It was a terrible time of apostasy, of falling away in the kingdom of Judah. But there is one ray of hope in this story, one act of God's providence to save the day. Athaliah's daughter, Jehoshabeath, who was married to Jehoiada the priest, the godly priest, and knowing that she was on her own mother's kill list, somehow escaped the carnage, and bless her heart, as they say in the South, right? Bless her heart, she spirited away secretly one of Athaliah's grandsons, who was just a baby at the time, and she took him to a safe place where he was spared his grandma's bloodthirst. And in this way, God preserved the royal line of David, which had come just within a cat's whisker, a single baby boy, of being completely destroyed. But as we read last week, God had made a promise to David. You remember that promise? That a descendant of his would always and forever sit upon the throne of David. And for the sake of that promise, God did not and he could not allow the house of David to be destroyed. And how appropriate that God kept this oath to David through a woman named Jehoshabeath, who saved that child, whose name means Yahweh has made an oath. Well, that little boy that Jehoshabeath spirited away to safety was named Joash. And he was raised in the early years of his life by Jehoshabeath and her husband, the priest Jehoiada, a godly man, a godly couple. And they raised him in the word of God, to fear and to love the Lord and to love the house of the Lord. And so that all bodes well. Meanwhile, as this child is being raised somewhere secretly, there is these disastrous 6 years of Athaliah's reign on the throne of David. But when Joash turned 7, Jehoiada, who had raised him, hatched a plot to seize the throne back, to give the throne back to its rightful heir, the only prince that was still left in the royal line of David, to give the throne to Joash, Judah's rightful king. And so this plot that Jehoiada launched involved a large ceremony at which Joash was introduced to the crowds, the son of David, rightful heir to the throne of David, and he was crowned as the king at 7 years old. And all of the people loudly hailed their new king, and the trumpets were blowing, and there were shouts of joy. And Athaliah heard the ruckus and the commotion, and she comes running out. She sees what's happening, and she cries, "Treason! Treason!" But she is seized according to the plot, and she is put to death. And thus, at 7 years old, Joash, the son of David, the boy king of Judah, ascended to the throne. And we read in 24 verse 2 tonight that Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Good king. He did right in the eyes of the Lord. But did you notice that there's a troubling note in that sentence I just read? Joash did what was right during the days of Jehoiada. As long as Jehoiada, the godly priest, was alive, the man who raised him, as long as he was alive and advising Joash, all was well. But what happens when Jehoiada, that godly influence in his life, is gone one day? But for the time being, he's a good king. And under the advisement of Jehoiada, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, right? He tore down all of those places of worship, the Asherim and all the altars to Baal that Athaliah had set up, cleansed the temple, gathered the tax so that the temple could be renovated to its proper status, and they restored the house of the Lord to its place as the house of the Lord. And there Joash offered burnt offerings to the Lord. And all the days that King Joash reigned under the influence of Jehoiada, the true worship of God was restored to Solomon's temple. And we read in the book of Chronicles that the land rejoiced and the city was quiet. Ah, that's nice, isn't it? But you know what's coming, don't you? Yeah, then it becomes quite ominous. And we turn to the 24th chapter, verses 17 and 18, and we read these words. Then Amaziah, the king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehud, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us look one another in the face." I'm sorry, that was chapter 25. Let's go back to chapter 24, turn two pages. 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And then we read in verse 22, Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him. So here we go. So the temple that Joash had spent so much time in his youth renovating and cleaning and restoring, he suddenly forsakes it, and he starts worshiping dead idols. You see, Joash was very weak. He was really just a puppet of anybody who happened to be counseling him at the time. As long as Jehoiada was counseling him, everything was well and good. But now Jehoiada is gone, and here come these princes, it says, these throwbacks to the age of Athaliah, and they start counseling him, and like a weather vane in the wind, he just quickly turns. He's like a ship without a rudder, just tossed to and fro by everybody's opinions. And they start worshiping idols. And he abandons the Lord, his God. God sends prophets to try to call Joash, now an adult, back to the Lord to repent, but he paid no attention to them. God's word was of no interest to him anymore. He rejected the prophets. So finally, God sent Zechariah, Jehoiada's son, the same Jehoiada that had raised Joash. Now think about that. Zechariah is Jehoiada's biological son. Joash is effectively Jehoiada's adopted son. And so it could well be these two grew up together as boys, played together, laughed together, ran together. So surely if anybody could get through to Joash, it would be Zechariah, with whom he had grown up in the same household. So Zechariah comes and he makes his appeal to the king and to the people. And we read it tonight. He says, "Why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper?" Well, the king did not like to be called out in front of his people, and the people didn't much appreciate it either. And they all conspired against Zechariah. They did not listen to him, but conspired against him and stoned him to death in the courts of that very temple that Joash had once restored as the house of God. Where once Joash had sacrificed bulls and goats to the Lord, now he sheds the blood of the Lord's prophet, his own brother. And as far as we know, Joash never repented. We read tonight that he was assassinated. He was wounded in a battle, severely wounded, and then his servants finished him off, assassinated him, and he was destroyed. In the Chronicles of Joash, I think we see a number of applications for our lives. And the first one, I hope, is maybe of some comfort to you if you've experienced something in your life as a Christian parent. How many Christian parents have watched a child of theirs that they raised up in the Lord forsake the Lord and his house? Now for Jehoiada, at least he wasn't alive to see his beloved Joash forsake God. But maybe some of you, some of us, have seen this happen with young ones in our lives. Our children, maybe your grandchildren or nieces or nephews perhaps. And they fell in with the wrong people and they were drawn away from the Lord. You know, we're reminded of Paul's word to the Corinthians, "Bad company ruins good morals." And we saw there's children turn away and abandon the Lord, and oh, how it hurts if you've experienced that. And many parents bear a horrendous sense of guilt over this. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? But in the story of Joash, we take heart that even a child who is raised faithfully to love the Lord and to love the Lord's house can stumble and fall. And that's not, I mean, no parent is perfect, but that's not the fault of parenting so much as it is the work of Satan, who never stops attacking us or our loved ones. And so our job is that we must never stop praying for those who have fallen away, because the good shepherd never stops looking for his lost lambs, and his mighty spirit and his powerful gospel are able to bring back the prodigal. And if you've ever seen that in your life, oh, how you rejoiced. I think another application of the story of Joash is a word of caution to all of us as the children of God, no matter how old or young we may be, lest that we too not come under the influence of a bad company and be conformed to them and to this world rather than be transformed by Christ. And it's not that we shouldn't be out there in and amongst the unbelievers of this world to love them, witness to them, serve them, but as we do so, we must carefully guard our souls against their influence. And the way we do that is through regular worship in the fellowship of our fellow believers, as we come together like we are right now to hear the word of God, to be nourished on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, to remember our baptism and who we are in Jesus, and to encourage each other as we read in Hebrews tonight, do not neglect to assemble yourselves, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do not forsake wisdom, the proverb says, and she will protect you. And I remember what Joshua said to the Israelites as they prepared to enter the promised land. He said, now vigilantly guard your souls. Joash, good king or not? What's your call? Whatever he is, he's just another king who fell short, isn't he? And clearly we need a better king than that. A king who will set up a temple for God that will never fall into disrepair, never be defiled. And Joash, as flawed as he was, nevertheless points us to that better king, another boy king who also came to his temple in his youth, who loved the temple, the house of God, even cleansed the temple like Joash did, chasing out those who had turned God's house into a den of thieves, as we read in the gospel reading tonight, to restore the temple to its proper use as a house of prayer, a place where people meet God in his mercy and his grace to receive his forgiveness. But even that temple of stone that Jesus cleansed was destined for destruction just 40 years later. So Jesus, as our better king, set up a better temple. Not a temple of stone this time, but the temple of his own flesh, wherein God came to dwell among us with all of his redeeming grace and love. And of course, they tried to destroy that temple. They crucified him to the death and to the grave. But as Jesus once said, we read tonight, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again in 3 days. And sure enough, the scripture says that his body did not see corruption in the grave. And that on the third day, just as he said, his temple of flesh was raised again to be the temple of God among us that cannot be defiled or ever destroyed. And in that temple of his risen flesh, he now lives among us with grace and every blessing, the forgiveness of our sins that he purchased for us at the cross, at the cost of his own blood, life, salvation, hope, joy and peace and grace enough, even for every Joash of this world who repents and returns to the Lord. So learn well the lesson of King Joash. In one season of his life, he is tending to the temple of the God he loved. But then in a latter season, he forsakes both the temple and his God and is destroyed. The devil is on the prowl for you too, for your children, and for any children in your life, seeking to devour us, destroy us, and kill us, as Jesus says in John's gospel. He wants to make you the next Joash. Therefore, surround yourself and anyone in your life that you love, surround them with godly company as best you can. And especially that means be in the church and do not become the companions of bad company, but and be conformed by them. But keep coming to the Lord's house, to the Lord's temple, which our King set up to be the place where forever he is Emmanuel, God with us. And where is that temple where God meets and forgives and nourishes us? But in the body of Jesus Christ, the church, where the gospel, the water, the bread, the wine, the body, and the blood will always be the pledge of his covenant to us of mercy and of grace. Come here often. Diligently guard your soul. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's respond together as we sing the hymn, "To Your Temple, Lord, I Come."
To your temple, Lord, I come, for it is my worship home. This earth has no better place. Here I see my Savior's face. I through him am reconciled. I through him become your child. Touch my lips, unloose my tongue, that my joyful soul may bless Christ the Lord, my righteousness. While the prayers of saints ascend, God of love to mine attend.
Let us rise as we are able, as we bring the offerings forward and sing together the offertory. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty and most merciful God, though you are not contained in houses built by human hands, you have been pleased to dwell among your people with the fullness of your glory through the means of grace. Grant us forgiveness so that we may hear your holy word with cleansed hearts and praise your name with pure voices, until at last you bring us to the heavenly Jerusalem, where the Lamb is the temple, and we unite with all the saints and angels in your praise forevermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Compassionate Lord, you graciously take into your fatherly care all who are in trouble, temptation, affliction, adversity, and the peril of death. Comfort them with your Spirit, that they may patiently endure their trials and be preserved to everlasting life. Hear us especially for Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, and Bill and Gary, Deb, Francis, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma and Ron, and Vicky, Jama, Judy, Kyle and Marilyn and Renee, and Michelle, Diana, and Carolyn, and Jordan, and Tyler, and Todd, and all others that we may know of in our own spheres of influence in our own lives. O Lord, support all of these with your everlasting arms, that in their weakness and at the hour of death, they may know your strength and be granted a peaceful end and a joyful entrance into your kingdom in the resurrection of the body, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
Abide, O dearest Jesus, among us with your grace, that Satan may not harm us, nor we to sin give place. Abide. his blessings among us found, yes, Lord. Let us in grace and wisdom grow daily through your word. Abide with your protection among us, Lord, our strength, lest world